We begin the current Daf Masechet Yevamos, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. We begin on the bottom line of Daf Kuf Yud Beis and Mabeis, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous Daf. That is, the Gemara was explaining regarding which types of cases the rabbis instituted rabbinic marriage and which ones did they not. So the Gemara concluded that by Cheresh and Chareshes, where they'll never come to Bechlal Nisuin, they instituted rabbinic marriage. And so to a minor girl, that's an orphan, a katana, who, although she will ultimately come to a biblical marriage, however, in her present state as an orphan, where people could be nagba minik hefker because she doesn't have a father, so they also instituted by her rabbinic marriage. Now, the Gemara contrasts the two rabbinic marriages, that of a chareshes and a katana. And that is, the Gemara asks, umayishna katana demem'enam, what's the difference by a minor, where that's a rabbinic marriage, where she can refuse that rabbinic marriage at any point in time when she's a katana? What's the difference by a deaf-mute woman who her marriage is also rabbinic, where she cannot refuse that marriage? Both of them, they don't have complete das, and if therefore it's rabbinic marriage. So why by the katana did they institute she could refuse, but by the deaf-mute, they didn't allow that? So that the Gemara says dim kain, because if a chareshes, although yes, maybe she should be legitimately have the same ability to refuse, because she's just like a katana, but if they allowed miyun by chareshes, and then we continue on top of kofi gimel manalv, so then men would stop and they wouldn't marry the deaf mute. In other words, because although you're right, based on her the state of chareshes, she should be just like the minor and be able to do miyun, but by a katana, at least a man that marries a minor, let's say she's 8 or 9, he knows, look, I could appease her until she reaches adulthood. Once she reaches adulthood, the first B we have becomes biblical marriage, and okay, I passed that stage already. He doesn't have to be eternally worried that she'll just get upset him one day and say, okay, I'm out, and that's all she has to do for me. But by chareshes, where forever she's a chareshes, if she had that ability, then no one would ever want to marry, because at the drop of a hat, she could just walk away, and therefore we didn't allow miyun in the case of chareshes. Another question in the contrast between katana and chareshes, the Gemara asks, umayishna katana, the ochla b'trum, what's the difference by the rabbinic marriage when a minor is married by her mother, which is rabbinic marriage to a kohen, where she gets to eat truma? Umayishna chareshes, and what's the difference by a deaf mute, where her father did not marry her off when she was a minor, which means to say that her marriage is only rabbinic, also the same type of idea, to lo yachal b'truma, where there she cannot eat truma. There's not like a mishnah mesechtes kitten and mesechtes idias that says that hey Rabbi Yechonim ben Gudkata, which is similar to the testimony that he had said in the previous daf in the Mishnah, that he says, al chareshes chasiya avia, that regarding a deaf mute that her father married her off when she was a minor, where although that's a biblical marriage, sheyetze beget, that even when she becomes an adult and her father is not there anymore to acquire the get to make that into biblical divorce, still, even though the kedushin is a kedushin gemurim, it could still fulfill the biblical divorce necessary for the biblical marriage, because as we said in the previous daf, that a woman could be divorced, whether lo tzayna or shalei lo tzayna, we don't need her das and her consent to divorce her. So that was the testimony we had mentioned in our Mishnah. But then he says additionally, another testimony says, v'alketana bas Yisrael, by a minor Jewish woman that is an orphan that was married by her mother, where that's again a rabbinic marriage, shenisus l'kayin, that if she gets married to a kayin, shaycheles b'truma, that she eats truma. Now, although her marriage is not a biblical marriage, however, as the Gemara explained in Daf Tzadim and Aleph, that we're talking about rabbinic truma. So rabbinic truma for a rabbinic marriage, that she could eat. So at least she could eat rabbinic truma. But v'ilu chareshes lo yachlo, but regarding a deaf mute, we see that she doesn't eat even rabbinic truma, and that, as Rashi points out, because in the fact that Rabbi Yechim and Gudgudah was, what was his first testimony? It was talking about a chareshes. Now he left chareshes, which was regarding a different topic, and then he started talking about katana regarding the ability of, although it's a rabbinic marriage, to eat at least rabbinic truma. Now obviously that he left chareshes, when she gets married by herself, which is rabbinic marriage, that she cannot eat truma, because Rosi could have just said it in chareshes too. So what's the understanding of why do we have this contrast where katana could eat rabbinic truma and chareshes cannot? So I think my answer is it's a gezeira. If we allow a chareshes to eat, which should be just like by katana, that at least it's rabbinic marriage, so she could eat rabbinic truma, but we're concerned she meyachal cheresh b'chareshes. If we allow a chareshes married to a kayin, that's a pekiach, we might allow it even when the deaf mute is married to a kayin that's a deaf mute. Now Rashi points out right away that this is not a sufficient answer for the Gemara's question, because what should be the difference if you have a pekeach that's marrying chereshes or cheresh marrying chereshes? Either way, their marriage is not a biblical marriage. Now, if one of them is permitted, the other one will also be permitted, because the same idea is that the only problem could be is that it's not a biblical marriage. Not a biblical marriage. How could you go ahead and feed truma? So we could say that it's talking about rabbinic truma, but the worst case scenario is that you'll be violating the Yisra of eating truma even though you're a Zara. Now, that would not be a problem if we're talking about a Katan or a Cheresh, a Chereshes, where they don't have full-fledged Das. So they're in the category, as the Gemara will explore, of what's called Katan Eichel Neveles. Some of that, their Das is not complete, Bezin doesn't have to stop them when they're violating an Yisra. Be that as may, as the Gemara will discuss, the Gemara right now is saying that, no, we didn't allow Chereshes married to Pekeach Kohen to eat even rabbinic truma, because we might allow it even when a Cheresh is married to a Cheresh. So the Gemara asks, Valech, what's the problem with that? Katan Eichel Neveles, who a Chereshes, again, as we just explained, is like the category of what's called a Katan Eichel Neveles, which means a minor could eat something non-kosher. We don't have to stop the child because he's not mitzvah in the mitzvah. He doesn't have full das. Now, Chereshes, a deaf mute, is also not full das, doesn't have her intellect intact, and therefore we're not commanded to stop them. So what's the problem? So what, she'll be eating truma and she's not allowed to? Fine, well, that's not our concern. And therefore, why do we not allow a chereshes that's married to a cheresh or married to pekech? Either way, what would be the problem? I think where it says, right, there's really one step more. It's gezerish shemiyachal cheresh bepekachas. We're concerned that if we let a pekach, a chereshes that's married to a pekoin pekechit, we might come to allow a cheresh is married to a chereshit. Now, both those are really not a problem. But then we might come to allow a pikachas that's married to a cheresh. And that is, as Rashi explains, really, the whole thing is for that one last case that's exera, that we might have the cheresh that's a kain feed to pikachas, where that's a chi of misa, as the Gemara will conclude this discussion, where an adult, fully competent woman that's married to a kain that's a cheresh, that's a problem, at least for Truma Daraisa, because her marriage is only rabbinic marriage, because he's a Cheresh. And yet, if she eats biblical Truma, that's a problem, because she's not biblically married, and that's a Nisr for her, because she's an adult, and she's going to get an Oinah, she's going to get a punishment. Now, Rashi points out, the reason why initially, when the Gemara gave the answer, that it said, oh, we don't allow a Chereshes married to Bekeach to eat, because then a Cheresh might feed a Chereshes, why did it do that, and then have another step? Why didn't it go right away to the case of, no, if we allow chereshes by pekach, we might allow a pekachas to a cheresh, which that ultimately is the maskan sagamara, that's the concern. Now, the reason is because a cheresh, when he's a cheresh and she's a pekachas, doesn't get mixed up with when he's a pekach and she's a chereshes, because they're exactly the opposite. But a chereshes that's married to a cheresh could be confused, because there's only one variable off, with a chereshes married to pekach, which then that could get mixed up with a cheresh that's married to pekachas, because again, there's only one step off. To say two steps off is not so common to mix up, and if we wouldn't say one to the other, but if you have that middle step, if we allow a chereshes to pekach, one step off, we might do then chereshes and cheresh, and then one step off, you might come to pekach chereshes, which that could be a biblical problem for this adult woman. Now, that's something that only applies in the case over here by chereshes, and that's why we're concerned. But by a katana, by a minor to a gadol, there we have no problem letting her eat rabbinic truma, because what? You would say the same thing would be the same concern that we have with chereshes. It's not true, because you can't have a gadolah married to a katan, because there's no nisuin, there's no marriage for a katan, so there's no concern that you could have by the case of a minor. So therefore, by the case of the minor, she could eat truma. But by chereshes, where again, if you go down that slippery slope, changing one variable at a time, you might come to a case of biblical proportion type of a violation. Yeah, but the Gemara still asks, v'cheresh b'pekachas nami, so what's the concern? So let's say it's going to go all the way to when he's a deaf mute and she's a fully competent woman. But, as we explained before, that's at least a rabbinic marriage, because although he's a cheresh, but rabbinically that's permitted. So lecha b'truma drabbana, what's the problem? You say that the chereshes cannot eat any truma, even rabbinic truma. Why? Because you might come to cheresh chereshes, which might come to bring to cheresh pekachas. So what? So let's say cheresh pekachas. Eat rabbinic truma, that's allowed because rabbinic marriage, just like the katana to the kain is permitted. So the Gemara says, no, gezer dema'asi la'ochel b'truma de'araisa. We're concerned that if it ultimately comes down to cheresh feeding pekachas, where even though it's permitted rabbinic truma, he might come to feed a biblical truma, because do they know the difference between rabbinic truma and biblical truma? And then that would be a biblical violation of a woman that's an adult eating truma, which is forbidden for her because biblically she's not actually married to the kohen that's a cheresh. And therefore, again, that resolves the difference between the ketana, who eats rabbinic truma, but the chereshes that does not, even though they're both rabbinic marriages. And the Gemara continues asking regarding the discrepancies between chereshes and ketana, although they're both rabbinic type of marriages. What's the difference by a minor that gets married to a man? That she has a ksuba dowry. If she leaves the marriage, she gets a ksuba. What's the difference by a deaf mute that she does not get a ksuba? Where the Gemara shortly will explain where do we know this source that a ketana has and a chereshes doesn't have. But the Gemara is first asking the question. So the Gemara answers the imkain, because if a chereshes got a ksuba, so people would not marry her because she's limited in her capacity. She's a chereshes. And if I'm going to have to give a ksuba, then it's not worth it. And therefore, the Rabban did not institute it. But by a minor, people wouldn't stop, because even though now she's essentially intellectually the same as the chereshes, but one day she's going to get bigger and she'll have das, and therefore people will not withhold of getting married to ketana if they have to give a ksuba. Now the Gemara clarifies what we had assumed in the question. Where do we know that a minor has a ksuba? So it's not like the Mishnah Masechtas Ksubas. The Mishnah says, Hame me'enes, a minor that refuses the marriage. Now there she doesn't have a ksuba, because there she's forcing the husband in her leave. And v'hashniya, a woman that's rabbinically prohibited to marry this man, does not have a ksuba, as we explained on the Pehemet Beis, because that's a knas, that's a rabban, penalized this marriage. And v'yailanis, a woman that doesn't have the characteristics of a regular female to be able to have children, that's because of what's called a mekach toyis, it's a mistaken acquisition, because he wouldn't have married a woman that doesn't have the same characteristics as every other female. So these three cases, the Mishnah says in Ksubas, Ein Lahen Ksuba. They don't have a Ksuba, as we just explained the reasons for all those things. Now, but the inference from the Mishnah, which says that the minor doesn't get a Ksuba when she's Me'enes, when she refuses the marriage, so you can infer from there, it's only because that was against the husband's will, meaning she could just undo the whole marriage by doing Mi'en. But if she's a minor and she's not leaving through Mi'en, but rather by the husband divorcing her, and the difference is, yesh la ksuba, then she does have a ksuba. It's only when she does it, and therefore it's again, the husband didn't want it, so then he doesn't have to give the ksuba, but when he does it, then he has to give a ksuba. Now the other half of the equation, b'chareshes menolan deles la ksuba. Where do we know that a deaf mute does not have a ksuba? The Talmud learned the Braisa. Braisa says, cheresh v'shoyte shenosu pekaches. Regarding a deaf mute man, or a mentally deranged man, that gets married to a fully competent woman. So avapishin is pekecha cheresh, even if ultimately the deaf mute becomes that he has gets back all his faculties, or v'nishtapa hashayta, or that the mentally deranged man becomes sane, ein lahem aleim klum. The women do not have any claim of a ksuba against what was originally a cheresh and a shayta, and the reason is because at the time when they got married they didn't have das, and therefore the conditions, whatever the conditions were there in the marriage, which is the ksuba, are not a tanai at all. Now, so although the Rabbanan did institute at least rabbinic marriage for a cheresh, they did not institute, at least rabbinically, a ksuba also with that marriage, as Gemara will shortly explain, because more than a man wants to get married, a woman wants to get married. So although that they're not going to get a ksuba from this type of marriage, it doesn't make a difference. As long as they get married, it's going to be worthwhile for them. And therefore, the Rabbanan never instituted a ksuba for this type of rabbinic marriage. And therefore, even if they later become pekeach or become totally sane, that doesn't make a difference. When they got married, there was no institution of ksuba that they have to give. But the Braisa says, Ratzu l'kayman, if they want to, now that they're sane, and now that they got their faculties back, they want to maintain that marriage, so then yeshlem ksuba, and the gear says, mon, and now they do get that ksuba, because now that they're sane, and they want to complete and continue with this marriage, so then they give that ksuba of a mon. Now, however, the Braisa continues, b'kech shenos l'chareshes l'shayte, if the man was totally sane, and he married either a mentally deranged woman or a deaf-mute woman, then a filakasav la meimana, even if he wrote for her ksuba 100 mana, ksuba sa kayemes, she gets that ksuba when she leaves that marriage. And they shirat sa lasik ben chasav, because obviously he wanted to create damage into his estate, his properties, and that is, although the chacham did not institute for her ksuba, as we said regarding the case of a cheresh, But he wrote for her. And since he wants to create a loss, so then, fine, that's his prerogative. He's an adult that's sane, and he's totally competent. So his condition is fulfilled. Now, the diuk is, the inference is, time of the ratz is only if he wants to, then he has to give it. Halei ratza, but if he didn't want, in other words, if he didn't write 100 man for ksuba, ein la, obviously she would not have, based on just the tekan's chamim, that she does not have the ksuba. And that's the source for the other half of the equation that the Ketana has, but the Chareshes does not have. Now, the Gemara explains what's the reason why that the Chareshes does not get a ksuba. Because the imkain, if it were to be that a man would have to give a Chareshes a ksuba, mimni b'loy nasvila, so people would not get married to her, because as it is, she's a Chareshes. I have to give money, forget about it, it's not worth it. Now, the Gemara says, if that's the case, that because it's a little limited, the marriage that there is when someone's deaf-mute, so pikachas l'charesh. So similarly, you should say when there's a fully competent woman married to a deaf mute, l'sakon l'ksuba, we said that if the first half of the braisa said that when he's a deaf mute, then he doesn't give a ksuba. Why? There we should also have instituted for the charesh when he's a deaf mute a ksuba, because the imkain mimni v'loy mitzvi. Then women are going to hold back and not get married to the man, just like we said regarding the deaf mute woman that we don't require because they're not going to marry. Here, if he doesn't give the ksuba, then no one's going to marry because the women want ksuba. So that the Gemara says, no. Yosim ish ish reitz elisa. More than a man wants to marry, ish reitz lihinase, a woman wants to get married. And since they so much want to get married, even if he's a cheresh, and even if they're not going to get a ksuba, it doesn't make a difference as long as they're married, and therefore he didn't have to institute for the cheresh a ksuba where he's not competent and he doesn't have das to give a ksuba. We didn't institute that and mandate that. Now, related to this discussion, the Gemara brings the following incident. Ahu cheresh, there was a deaf-mute man, Dehave b'shevavuse der Malkia, that was in the neighborhood of Malkia. Now, Antzeve Itzer married him off to a woman, the cost of la arba mea zuzim nechse, and Malkia wrote in the ksuba 400 zuz from his properties, from his estate, to his wife. So Rava says, man chakim k'ra Malkia, who's so intelligent, who's so smart like Malkia? The Gavar Rabbi, that says he's a great Talmud Chacham, because Ksavar, he held the following logic, meaning that to take from the deaf mute man's estate to go and give so much money for the Ksuba, because Ila Ratzah Shevcha L'Shamshoi, if this deaf mute man would have wanted a maidservant to serve him, Miloy Zab Ninenle, we would not have purchased for him a maidservant and spent that money for him, because to take care of his needs. Kolashkin Hacha, Dekatarati, all the more so here when he gets a wife. Besides the fact that he's getting someone that he can have an intimate relationship with, he has someone that takes care of his needs, and therefore it makes sense, as we said in the Braisa, where he doesn't have to give, and more so that the wife doesn't get, but here the cheresh, he was allowed to give him his estate, even though not based on the halachas of marriage, as we saw in the Braisa, but based on just technical reasons that he needs assistance. For that reason alone, he was able to give that 400 mana and mandate that in his ksuba to give to that woman. Now, related to this discussion, the Gemara brings the following halach. Amar Chiyah Bar Ashi, Amar Shmuel. Eishes Cheresh. Regarding if someone has a relationship with a married woman. Now, she's not married to a pekach, but she's married to a deaf-mute man. The halach is, Shmuel says, that Ein Chayav Nolel Ashim Toli. That a man that has relations with her does not have to bring what's called an Ashim Toli. Ashim Toli is when you're not sure if you're violating a biblical prohibition or not. And that Shmuel says you do not have to bring Ashim Toli to say that maybe she's an atheist, maybe she's a married man, married woman or not, because you could say that we don't know what's the status with a cherish. Maybe he has das, maybe he doesn't have das, maybe he did have das when he got married, maybe he didn't, and therefore if someone cohabits with her, he should have to bring Ashim Toli, which is literally that it's like a hanging type of Ashim, maybe you're liable, maybe not. And that Shmuel says that no. Most definitely, there is no biblical marriage over here when the cheresh gets married to this woman. And therefore, although she's quote a married woman, biblically she's not. And therefore, you don't bring a carbon of an Ashim Toli to say that maybe it is and maybe it's not. You don't have to bring it if a person has an adulterous affair with this married woman. And that the Gemara wants to say, let's bring support to Shmuel's halacha from the following Mishnah Masechet Trumas. Mishnah says, five types of individuals cannot separate the hafrashas truma from a pile of produce. Vim tarmu in truma to truma, and if they take off truma, we don't even qualify it as truma on any level. And, you know, it's still considered tevel, a non-kohen could eat it. Veilin, and who are these five types of people? They're a cheresh, deaf mute, shaita, someone that's mentally deranged, but katana minor, and that these individuals don't have das, and someone that takes off truma from a produce that's not his, and the homeowner, the owner of that produce, didn't tell him to take off truma. And that's because we learn that the halacha of shlichus, of appointing someone to do the job, from the parasha of truma, where it says, atem gam atem, where it says, and also you, the gam, comes to include also your messengers, which comes to say that comparing to atem, to you, just like you, you have to have das, in a purposeful type of an act when you're taking off truma, so too your shliach has to be l'da'atchem, also purposefully with your intention, and if someone's doing it that it's not his own, then no one told him to do it, that's not a valid truma. And the fifth one is v'ivikachavim shatar mishal yisrael. If a non-Jew goes and does the job of taking off the truma of a Jewish homeowner's produce, afilah b'shus yisrael, even if the Jewish person told him, do me the favor and do half rashas truma, in truma, the truma, his separation is not a valid truma. And the reason is, because from that same source where it says that it compares the shliach to atem, which is ma'atem b'nei beris, just like you, the homeowner, are a Jewish person, so too your shliach has to be b'nei beris. Now, but one thing is that the Gemara wants to say, which should prove Shmuel's halacha, is which says cheresh, a deaf mute, ain't trumasi truma. His truma is not a truma. What that means is that actually that produce is even permitted to a zar, to a non-kain, because we don't view it as truma on any level. Now, if it was doubtful, if we weren't sure about a cheresh, does he have das? Does he not have? Because a cheresh is limited in some sense, but we don't know how far. If that was the case, then it should have said, not that his truma is not a truma, it would have been that we're not sure, it would have been that it's truma, but then you would have to take off another truma as it is. For the fact that it doesn't say that is obviously he does not have das at all, in other words, fully competent das ever. And that's why his truma is not a truma. That supports Shmuel's halacha, where he says that the wife of a cheresh, no one's going to be chayiv a biblical carbon, because there's definitely no complete das that would have made it a biblical marriage. Now that the Gemara says no. Actually, there's no support for Shmuel from this Mishnah Masechtas Trumas. Because actually, regarding Truma, Hu D'Amar, Shmuel actually says, like Rebbe Lazar, that actually, in this context of the Halacha Masechtas Trumas, Shmuel doesn't actually even agree to that Halacha. He actually holds like Rebbe Lazar that it actually is a doubt. To tell like Luna Braisa. Rebbe Yitzchak claims Yerushalmi Rebbe Lazar, he says, Trumas Cheresh loy teitzel l'chulun. If a Cheresh takes off Truma, it cannot go back to Truma like those other four cases of that Mishnah Masechtas Trumas. And the reason is, B'mnei Shu Safik, actually it is a doubt. We're not sure if his Truma is a good Truma or not. And therefore that Mishnah Masechtas Trumas cannot support Shmuel, because he doesn't actually even agree to that. He actually holds by a Cheresh that it is a Safik. So the Gemara asks, Yisrir k'Rebbe Lazar, if Shmuel holds a k'Rebbe Lazar, that obviously we see that the das of a cheresh is a suffix, maybe it is a valid das, maybe it's not, well then the question goes back to his halacha. So asham tali nami l'chayiv, instead of being a support from that Mishnah Masechtas Trumas, which it doesn't hold like that, then it's actually a question on his halacha. Why does he say, you're not chayiv asham tali, if a man cohabits with the wife of a cheresh, you should be chayiv, because maybe his das is a das, it's a doubt. And if it is a das, it means she was biblically married, and it's an eshes is. So you should be chayiv at least in the suffix carbon, which is what's called asham tali. So I think Mar says, no, it's not a question, because even if he holds like Rebbe Lazar that the das is a suffix, but it's not enough to make a requirement of a carbon of Asham Tali. And the reason is because be'ina chaticha mishtei chatichas. To mandate a carbon Asham Tali has to be a specific type of a suffix. It has to be one piece from two pieces. And as Rashi explains, in the context of the wife of a cheresh, although yes, he's saying like Rebbe Lazar that it actually is a doubt. We're not saying for sure he doesn't have das. But there's not going to be Asham Tola, because by Asham Tola, the Pasuk says in Yikra Hey, it says, Achas mikol mitzvahs Hashem. If someone violates one of the commandments of Hashem, now the way it's read is mitzvahs in the plural. Now the understanding what that means is to say, what do you mean plural? You're doing one thing wrong. It means one out of two. What does that mean? Let's say there was something permitted and something forbidden in front of him. For example, let's say there's his wife and the married woman that's with him in the house. Now, he didn't know that. He thought only his wife is in the house. And he goes and he has beer with the woman, not knowing that it could be another woman. In the morning, turns out there were actually two women in the house in that previous night. Now, he doesn't know which one they had beer with. Now, similarly, it would be, in a simpler case, if a man has two pieces of fat. One is chaylev forbidden fat, one is shuman permitted fat. Now, he thought that both of them are permitted fat. Now, he ate one of them. Turns out at the end, he finds out that really one of them was chaylev. Now, he doesn't know which one. There's no way to verify. Now, he doesn't know which one he ate. Now, if he knew which one he ate, so he would bring a carbon chatzis, which is a female carbon, and even something that's bas danka, a small amount. Now that he doesn't know, he actually has to bring a carbon ashram that's a male, and has to bring kesem shkalim. Now, that's the halacha regarding ashram tali, when it's one amongst two. But here, by the eishes cheresh, the doubt is in one piece. Is this thing, which in this case is the eishes cheresh, permitted, or is it forbidden? Now, in that type of a context, you don't bring ashram tali. So that is what Shmuel's halacha was saying. Not because it's not a suffix. Yes, it is a suffix, because he holds like Rabbi Elazar that maybe the cheresh has das, maybe not. And that's why his truma, you can't go to chulon. You would have to take another truma. But to be chayav ashram tali, that only works if it's one out of two, and here it's just one out of one. So the Gemara asks, "Umi bai Rabbi Elazar chaticha m'shtei chatichas? You're telling me that Shmuel holds like Rabbi Elazar, which is in truma, that it's a suffix if he has das. It's doubtful. Maybe he does have das, the deaf mute. But then, so how do we resolve his halacha over here by Eishes Cheresh? Oh, because for ashram tali, you need to have one out of two. But Rabbi Elazar does not hold like that you need to have one out of two. Because Vatai learned the Braiser, Rabbi Elazar Omer, he says kai, which is a type of an animal that we're not sure if it's actually a behemoth, a domesticated animal, or chay, a wild animal. So chayav and al chel by ashram tali. So you're liable for its fats, an ashram tali. And the reason is because if it's one way, depending if it's an animal or behemoth or chay, those fats are permitted and the other ones are forbidden. Now here, we don't know what the kai is, so you bring ashram tali because maybe its fats are permitted, maybe it's forbidden. Now, but one thing is, the case of kai is an intrinsic suffix, which means to say it's one out of one. This thing, it's not one out of two, was this that or was that this. We're saying that is this? It's a suffix in this. It's just like the case of the Eishes Cheresh. And yet still we see Rabbi Elazar holds that you'll be chayav ashram tali. So how could Shmuel say by Eishes Cheresh, if he holds like Rabbi Elazar, who says that the das is a suffix, so more of Rabbi Elazar says that you don't need one out of two, and still you bring ashram tali. So I think my answer is, Shmuel suffix, Rabbi Elazar b'chada, he doesn't hold like him unilaterally. He holds like him regarding one ear of halacha, which is that a cheresh, his das is a suffix. But he argues him on the other halacha, which is regarding the chiv of ashram tali, that Shmuel holds has to be one out of two, and by Eishes Cheresh is not one out of two, and therefore he holds you'll be exempt from ashram tali. That's one version of Shmuel's halacha. Vigadami, there are those that say that Amr Rav Chiya bar Ashi Amr Shmuel, actually, that Eishes Cheresh is chayyub nilau ashram tali, that he holds that no, you're actually liable. If a man has an adulterous affair with the wife of a cheresh, then he is chayav ashram tali because maybe he has das. And if he did have das, it's a biblical marriage, and that's it. Erev Eishes Ish. Now, Masri, the Gemara asks, according to this version, oh, but you have in that Mishnah Maseftes Trumas that says, Chamisha lo yitremu, that five men can't do truma. One of them is the cheresh. So obviously, you see that his truma is not a truma even after the fact. Obviously, that there's no doubt at all that he doesn't have das, which then you shouldn't be chayav ashram tali. So the Gemara answers in this version that Sava lo Rabbi Elazar, that he holds like Rabbi Elazar on both counts. A, that it is a suffix if he has das, and that's why his truma does not go back to chulun. But moreover, in this version, he holds totally like Rabbi Elazar that even though it's one out of one, which is this thing that was done by him, not doubtful of is it something else or not, even on that he holds like Rabbi Elazar, and that's why you'll be chayav and ashram tali. Now, the Gemara wants to understand this halacha of Rabbi Elazar. But your Vashi says, my time at Rabbi Elazar, what's the reason of Rabbi Elazar, where in the context of the halacha that we're discussing here with Shmuel, means regarding the wife of a cheresh, where we said regarding the wife of a cheresh that it's a suffix, and like the second version said in Shmuel that therefore you'll be chayav and ashram tali. What's the understanding? What is the suffix in his das? As follows. Mifshad pshitalei the cheresh dait the klishtahu. Was it obvious to Rabbi Elazar that a cheresh has limited intellect? I mean, he definitely does not understand things as well as other people. Now, but what his doubt was, that little das that the cheresh does have, idaita tzilusa, is that at least clear, that minimal das that he has? Now, and therefore what that would mean is that something that he puts his mind to and he does it, most definitely his kavan is kavan, he's having intent to do this thing. Or we continue on Tamid Beis, Ilav daita tzilusa, or maybe that he doesn't have clear das, meaning obviously it's lower capacity, quantitatively. And the question is qualitatively, that even in that little amount, is that going to be clear or not? Now that's a suffix. If you hold that it is tall, then his marriage should be a marriage, and therefore his truma should be a truma. Or maybe it's not, that little amount of das that he has is not even clear, and therefore his truma is not a truma, and therefore his marriage is not a marriage. But ula'aylam, But one thing that would be, according to this part of the question that the Gemara is asking, is that the entire lifetime of a cheresh, of a deaf mute, it's obvious to Rabbi Elazar that chadadaitu, it's uniform for the cheresh. It's not that sometimes he's totally translucent, totally there, and sometimes he's like mentally deranged. Not that that's the middle ground, the gray area of a cheresh, because sometimes he's totally white, sometimes he's totally black. No, it's that this part of the question is entertaining, that Rabbi Elazar holds that, no, he's always the same. Question is, that sameness that he has, can he be clear in that little das, and thus it is valid or not? Ay Dilma, or the Gemara says, maybe what Rabbi Elazar held was, pshitele didaita klishta. No, yes, it was obvious to him that obviously there's a limited mental capacity to a deaf mute, but velav daita tzilusu, and moreover, he definitely understood that that limited capacity is not clear. Now, but v'hocha hain detaima, the reason what the suffix, the doubt of Rabbi Elazar was, kiven de'itim cholim, because sometimes a cheresh gets a moment where he's totally clear, and therefore we're concerned that maybe at the time when he did his kedushin, maybe it was totally clear. When he did the truma, maybe it was totally clear. But for itim shaita, sometimes he's mentally deranged. And therefore that's his suffix, because it's not uniform, and sometimes you can be totally clear, and sometimes not. So that which one, the Gemara said, which one was the suffix of Belazar? Was it a uniform suffix? And in that uniformity, is it that he could be clear or not? Or no, we understood that he goes up and down. And that's the suffix, in other words, behaviorally, regarding that suffix is, thus makes us in this always suffix, but was he chalim or was he a shaita at that moment? So the Gemara wants is lamay nafkin. What would be the halachic difference? What was his suffix? Either way, he's a suffix. So the Gemara says lahitzi ishta beget. The nafkamina in halacha would be, can he divorce his wife with a get? In other words, according to Rabbi Elazar, when a man was always a cheresh, question is, can he now divorce his wife after then that they have been married? And the reason is because according to the Rabbanan, as we learned in the Mishnah, it's obvious that a cheresh who was a cheresh when he got married can divorce as he's a cheresh, as we learned, because kashem shekoynis b'rimiza, just like he got married with sign language, so he could divorce with sign language. But according to Rabbi Elazar, that says that a cheresh is a suffix, the question is, what would be the halacha? And that depends on this question that the Gemara is asking. Because if you say that he has one uniform type of a das, we're just not sure if that das can have clearness or not. Well, then either way, but kikidushin kach gerishin, whatever it is, as he got married, so too he gets divorced, because obviously he can divorce her, because whatever that das was, the Rabbanan instituted rabbinic marriage, he has that same das, so it's the equivalent regarding divorce. But ve'i amrit, if you say like the second sad, then itim cholim ve'itim shaita, sometimes he's clear, sometimes he's deranged. Well then, yes, kedushi matzim mekadosh, for sure he could get engaged because there's a rabbinic marriage for cheresh. But moreover, he might have actually even had a biblical marriage because he might have been totally sane at the time when he was marrying, because sometimes he's cholim. But kerushi le'matzim megarish, in that case, he wouldn't be able to divorce because maybe when he got married, he was cholim, he was totally there, biblically married. Maybe when he's divorcing her, he's sometimes shaita. And that would be only, to the most, a rabbinic divorce, which wouldn't work. Therefore, the Gemara says, my. So what is the understanding of Rabbi Elazar's suffix? The Gemara says, take or let it stand. It's not clear what was his suffix, and therefore it's not resolved. What would be the halacha according to Rabbi Elazar if a cheresh mikara would be able to divorce his wife with a get? Nothing more continues explaining our mission of the previous daf, that nishtatis v'chul. If the woman that was a pikachas when she got married, fully competent, but during marriage she went and she became mentally deranged, so the halacha was that the man is lo yaitzi, he's not allowed to divorce her anymore. So the Gemara explains that Amar B'Yitzchok, actually, devar taira shayti miskereshes. Biblically, a woman that's mentally deranged could be divorced, and that's because midid have a pikachas bal karcha, she's no different than any fully sane woman that could be divorced against her will. We don't need her das, we don't need her rutzin, and therefore the fact that she became mentally deranged should not stop us from letting the husband divorce her. But umatam amru in the mugureshes, why did the Chacham say that she's not divorced? The reason is shelo yinigo b'minig hefko, because we don't want people to do inappropriate things with her and to be mezana with her, because she's not all there and she has no one to protect her anymore, to safeguard her, because she's not married. Therefore, we said that if she became deranged, he can't divorce her anymore. Now the Gemara asks, hey chedomi, what exactly is the case? What is her status now, her mental status now that she became mentally deranged? If she's still able to safeguard her get that she's getting from her husband, she knows how to protect herself. Well, minagiba minigavka, so are people going to act inappropriately with her? No. Although she's a little bit deranged, but she could still protect herself, so why shouldn't he be able to divorce her? Ella, so what would you say? The enyadas lishma, that she doesn't know how to safeguard, loy gita b'loy atzma. She doesn't know, she's totally deranged. She can't hold on to her get, she can't hold on to herself. But then the question is, devat Torah shayta miskareshes? Would it be then biblically that she would be divorced? To say that, oh, but it's rabbinic that we don't allow it? It's not true. Because Va'amir Debe Rabbi Yanai, he was taught in the Yeshiva Rabbi Yanai, it says in the Pasuk regarding Gerushin, Benasin Beyada, and he puts the get in her hand. It's only Mishu Yesh Yad Legarashat, it's only a woman that has a hand to get divorced with. What that means is, Yatsis Azu She'in Liyad Legarashat, but that excludes a woman that doesn't have a hand to be divorced with, meaning to say that she doesn't have her full mental capacities to be able to receive something. She doesn't know what she's taking, what she's giving. And therefore, we see that if she's totally not there, that for sure, she even biblically, she can't be divorced. Similarly, B'tan de Rabbi Shmuel, that it says in the Pasuk, V'shilcha mi-beisa, he sends her away from his house. Now, but that understanding is that Misha Mishalcha ben Chazeres, it's only a woman that gets sent away and she doesn't come back. Yatsuzu Shemishalcha ben Chazeres, but that would exclude a totally deranged woman where you send her away, but she comes back because that's how Shaitim are, where they're not embarrassed and she comes right back. He says, didn't I give you a get? So the Gemara is wondering what exactly is the case of Shaita that we're saying that although biblically she is divorced but rabbinically not, either way, either she biblically even not or even rabbinically. In other words, if she's totally deranged, then biblically she's not divorced. And if she's not deranged, then even rabbinically shouldn't be a problem. So the Gemara says, Loi, no, Tzricha, the halacha that we're discussing in the Mishnah is somewhere in the middle. The Yidas Lishmagita, she knows how to protect her get. So therefore, you'll fulfill v'shilcha mibeisai and v'nasa b'yada. But v'eini des l'shmatzah, she doesn't have a safeguard herself. Where d'var t'ayrish shaytim miskereshet, that biblically she's divorced, because the yidas l'shmagidah, she knows how to safeguard her get. But v'am rabbanan le'lifka, the rabbanan instituted to say that we can't divorce her, shle yinigo b'minig hefka, that no one should act inappropriate with her, because although she safeguards her get, but she can't safeguard herself. Now Amar Abaye says, dekin nami. Actually, a precise reading in our Mishnah seems to indicate this Gemara's conclusion. Because the Tanna Gabbai Dida, we learned regarding the woman when she becomes a Shaita, that said, Nishtatis lo yaitzi, when the woman becomes mentally deranged, after they were told, both saying when they got married, that lo yaitzi, that he can't divorce her. Now, Gabbai Dida, when it talks about the man, the husband becoming mentally deranged after marriage, it says lo yaitzi olamis. It adds the word olamis, that he can never divorce her. Now, why by the man, Diktoni Olamis, does it say forever? What's it doing by the woman where it didn't say this term forever? Obviously, we can infer that there's a difference because by the man, it's biblical because he has to have his das to divorce her, which he doesn't have. And but the case of the woman is only rabbinic, as we explained, that it's a rabbinic halacha that we said that he cannot divorce her. And as we explained, that's because she's Yudeya Lishmer Eskita, but she's not Yudeya Lishmer Esatzma. Now, the Gemara continues is explaining our Mishnah. That Amr Bihmanuri Vukhul, Bihmanuri asked regarding what the Tanakama had said and differentiated between, let's say they were both saying, both Bekech and Bekaras got married. Then at a later point in time, if she became a Chareshes, if she became deaf mute, then he could still divorce her. Whereas if he becomes a Charesh later on, then he cannot divorce her. So Rabbi Bihmanuri wondered what's the difference between when he becomes a Charesh and when she becomes a Chareshes. And then the Mishnah, they responded to him and answered his question. Now, Ibailu, the Gemara had the following question. Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri, when he asked this question, Ish Pshitalei, was it obvious to him that when the man becomes a Cheresh, he cannot divorce her? And the reason is because he needs his Das, which is compromised when he becomes a Cheresh. But V'isha Kami Ibailu, his question was regarding the woman, why over there, if she doesn't have Das, can he go ahead and still divorce her? Was that the question? Or maybe the woman was obvious to him that you don't need her das, you don't need her ruts, and of course he could divorce her when she becomes a chareshes. But the question was regarding the man. Why by the man can he not divorce her even if he doesn't have das? Who cares? Just like she doesn't need, we don't need her das, maybe we don't need his das too. Which one was the question? Was it regarding the woman or regarding the man? So the Gemara said Tashima, we could infer this midika amrile. For the fact that it's said in the Mishnah that they responded to his question, they said, "Oh, ain't a daima ha'isha magarish la'isha meskereshes. You cannot compare a man that's divorcing to a woman that's getting divorced. And they said, because she'isha, yitzis l'rtzayna mishal l'rtzayna. A woman that's being divorced can be divorced whether with her will or against her will. But ve'ish, ein amayta l'rtzayna, but the man can only divorce it according to his will. So, the Gemara says, shma mino, ish kami bayle. Obviously, his question was regarding the man, and it was obvious to him regarding, and the question was regarding the woman. Now, the reason for that is because if the question was regarding the woman, then and it was obvious to him the halacha of the man that he can't divorce without his ratzon, well then what they should have responded was, in other words, when you say in the daima that this thing, oh, you can't compare this to that, meaning that is obvious, because that's what you're asking from. This that you're saying, no, that you cannot compare, which that's obviously the primary point. So if he was asking regarding the Isha, so he should have said, they should have responded, no, ain't them an Isha, you can't compare the woman to the man. So the fact that they told him you can't compare the man to the woman, obviously his question was regarding to the man, meaning the woman, you understand that we don't need her das, so you're asking why do we need his das? And that they answered him, no, you can't compare the man to the woman, because by the man we need his das. But that the Gemara asks, Adarabba, to the contrary, you could actually make an inference the other way around from what another statement that the Rabbana responded to Rabbi Nui from later on in the Mishnah. And that is, Meduka Amalei, from that the Rabbana responded to Rabbi Nui after Rabbi Yechman Gudgud has said over a halachic testimony that a chareshes, that her father had, was Mekadeshar, which was a full-fledged, it was Kedushin Gemurin, that she could receive her gerushin even when she becomes an adult when she doesn't have her das. So they said to her, oh, in response to Rabbi Yechman Nui, so Abzu, this is the same thing regarding the Bekachas that was Nisharsha, is Kayetzeva, is the same thing, where although her condition was Gemurin because she was a Bekachas, but when she's getting divorced, we don't care that she's limited in her mental capacity, because it's the same thing, like you see from his testimony with Charesha Shanasaviyah. Now from there, Shema Mino Ishi Kami Boile, obviously the question was regarding the woman, because what are they going ahead and bringing proof, oh, that you see that a woman could be divorced even without her ruts and without her das? But that wasn't the question. So there's two contradictory inferences from the Mishnah regarding what was his primary question. Was the Isha the one that was obvious and the Ish was the question? Or was the Ish obvious and the Ish the question? Because on the first hand, it sounds like that the man was the question. As we see, they responded, Ein Yodeim HaIsh. But yet from this part of the statement, it sounds like that the woman was the question. And that's what they proved from the case of Chareshes, that her father married her off, that it's the woman that they had to show him could be divorced without her ratzon. So the Gemara says, Ella, actually, it's like this, and this will resolve these two contradictory inferences. Rabbi Yechman Nuri l'divreim kamalhu. Rabbi Yechman Nuri held a certain way. He was only responding, according to your opinion, this is my question. In other words, l'didi, according to me, k'yeche di ish le'matzim agash, definitely, just like a man cannot divorce without his ratzon, without his das, I hold isha nami le'magash, a woman, you cannot divorce her either without her ratzon, without her das. Now, regarding that part of the statement is what the Rabbanan responded with a proof to say that no, avzuka yitzaba. What do you mean? I'll show you from the case of Rabbi Yechman Gudgud's testimony that we do not need a woman's ratzon and a woman's das, which is when we had a chareshes that her father married her off, and still when she's an adult they were able to divorce her without her ratzon. So that was that inference. Now, but continuing this statement of Rabbi Yechman Nuri, he says, look, that's what I hold. But according to you, that you say that a woman could be divorced without her ratzon and without her das, so maishno isha, maishno ish, then what's the difference between a woman and a man? On that amrulay, that's what they told him, no, you cannot compare a man that's divorcing to a woman that's getting divorced. In other words, when they said that the other inference of ina daima, where they seem to be responding regarding a man, that was regarding, because what he had told them regarding their own opinion. So that resolves both of these diyukim, these two inferences. One was regarding to his own opinion, but his statement over here was told regarding their opinion, and that was to resolve regarding the man, again, that you can't compare the man to the woman. The man needs the das, and the woman, we don't need her das. Now the Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah that, as we mentioned this just before, that Heid Rabbi Yechanan V'chul Rabbi Yechanan Gudgud had said a testimony regarding a case of a chareshes, a deaf-mute minor, that her father is marrying her off, which is a biblical complete kedushin, that still she's yet to beget when she's an adult, even though that's compromised in the sense of her das, again, which the Tanna Kamma said, oh, from there you see that same idea that we're saying, that we don't need her das and ratzon to divorce her. Now, that Amar Rava says, that Medusa Shab Yechman Gudgudah, from the testimony of Rabbi Yechman Gudgudah, where, as we just quoted before, that he says that even when there was a Kedushin Gemura, a complete Kedushin, we still do not need the woman's das at the time to be able to divorce her. So Rav infers the following halacha from that statement. Amala Edim, let's say a man says to witnesses, Ru get ze shani nesin. Look, take a look. I want you guys to be able to say testimony that I divorced my wife. Look at this get that I'm going to give to my wife. Now, she doesn't hear what he's telling the witnesses. Then, v'amar lo, he says to his wife, who is a fully competent woman, kinsi shtar chayv ze. Here, I'm giving you a document which is could be collected. It's a loan that there is where I'm giving you this document. Now, he doesn't tell her that it's really a get. On that, Rava says, Harizu Magarasha, she's divorced. She got the get. She received it. Didn't Rabbi Yechon say that we don't need the das of a woman to be divorced? Where we said, even if she's Charesha, she doesn't realize what's happening to this deaf mute woman. She just gets to get. That goes and that technicality divorces her. So, we don't need her das. She thinks what she's getting is a some type of a loan document. Doesn't make a difference. She got to get. We don't need her das. She's divorced. So, the Gemara asks Peshitta. That seems pretty obvious inference from Birchin Salocha. The question is, what do you need to go ahead and say this, Rava, that as if this is a new Chiddush in Halacha? So, the Gemara says no, because Ma Detema, we would have thought to say, from the fact that he tells her that hold on to this. A monetary document, this type of obligation, we would think batuli batli, that thus in that process he's nullifying it, and as if this is some type of a chayv, an obligation that he wants her to hold on to, and that it's not really a get. Kamash malan, that's the chiddush that Rabbi is saying, that no, because isi de batli, if it was true that he's nullifying it, and although he told them this is a get, when he's telling her he's retracting on that, well then le'edim have a kamalu, he would have told the witnesses that who he originally made up this. That he's giving a get, he would have told them and retracted to them. For the fact that he didn't tell the witnesses, he wasn't nullifying it at all. And this, that he was telling his wife that he didn't tell her it's a get. He says it's some type of a document. I just want you to hold on to this. And the Gir says law that obviously it was just because out of embarrassment. He felt embarrassed divorcing her, so he said, "Oh, there's some type of a document I need you to hold on to." But the truth is, obviously, from the fact that he didn't retract to the witnesses, obviously, it's that he didn't retract, and therefore, based on Abichim Agudgizgiz Halacha, you could say that even though we don't have her das and her ratzon when she's receiving it, doesn't make a difference because we do not require a woman's das to be able to receive her gerushin, that is her get.